This is Jamie.
And this is Heather. And you're listening to Soul Archaeology, where we dig for ultimate truth amongst the layers of our lived experiences. And today, we're talking about the stars on the stars. And we've brought a special guest to talk to you about those stars, Miss Samantha Hammer.
Hi. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
No problem.
It's going to be fun.
It is.
Now, the reason I convened us all here today is because as I was walking through my neighborhood, I had a sudden nudge from the guides about something that I had done several years back during the pandemic. I went down a rabbit hole. And for those of you who have been listening to our show, you know, we recently did a show on Hollywood and what's going on and some of the darkness there. And as I was walking to this neighbor's house, I was reminded of the rabbit hole I went down researching Errol Flynn. Now, for any old Hollywood movie buff, Errol Flynn will be instantly recognizable as a very handsome, dashing man, played Robin Hood. He was in charge of the Light Brigade, huge list to his credit, but he was also known for his debauchery. And that's what the guides wanted me to hone in on, was his debauchery, because this would have been in the golden age of Hollywood, right after the initial foundation was set in the 20s, right as we're getting into regular talkies. And Flynn comes on the scene and he is known for being on trial for two counts of statutory rape. He is well known for his sprawling ranch house complex in the Hollywood Hills, having mirrored panels in the ceilings and in the bathrooms, peepholes. There was always someone watching you at an Errol Flynn party. And there was also a lot of rumor about them drugging underage girls and of age girls, but specifically underage girls, and then having their way with them. So I found it really interesting that the guide suddenly popped this into my head. Not that I'm ever against Hollywood debauchery being popped into my head, but it was just really random and out of nowhere. And so I thought, I wonder if Hollywood is having some sort of return. I wonder if, because what they told me was the 1930s is when the black roots were planted in Hollywood. That's when the dark energy was firmly placed within the cinema firmament. And they specifically related it for me back to Errol Flynn, but I am sure, because I know that there are stories about Louis B. Mayer having girls on call at their bungalows for when he felt like he needed some company, shall we say. Marlena Dietrich talked about that. Mm-hmm. So the Hollywood casting couch is an utter cliche at this point. However,
Fatty Arbuckle stories, you know,
I think Fatty was framed. I don't think that he did it. Honestly, I think that he was one of the sort of collateral damage. I think something else went on there, but the Hollywood fixers, the whole studio system was very deeply rooted in shadow. And there is a reason for that. And that's because my guides tell me that Hollywood was the first awakening attempt. They thought that there was enough energy grounded on the planet, but in order to create an awakening, a mass awakening, it would have to go through something artistic and creative. And so in an effort to derail that, the other side, if you will, the in this galactic battle of shadow and light, sort of implanted enough dark energy to slow the process way down.
And I think just, you know, on a historical note in its totality, there was a lot going on at that point in the world. You have setups kind of that support this. You have spiritualism, which began in the 1800s, but was kind of reaching a zenith and was starting to spread out from the East Coast and moving west as more people are starting to move to the West. You also have, you know, either on the cusp of or moving into that space of the Great Depression, where people are looking for anything. They're looking for that escapism, but they're also looking for opportunities. And so you have a lot of opportunistic tendencies within that community. And then just looking at the history of acting as a profession on a whole, which was seen as something very low level, very base, something that you didn't involve yourself in. If you were, you know, especially for women, it was like, oh my goodness, you're an actor. You know, it's like, you might as well said, I am a prostitute, because that's basically what people thought of. It's like, oh, if you were in that realm, you were kind of at the bottom dregs of society and not to be associated with. So when this community started to form and then money was available and people with money were starting to back it, you kind of saw a little bit of a shift, but a lot of that energy kind of stuck with it. So I think it created this kind of perfect storm for the debauchery and the rumors and the weird kind of setups amongst that community. So I think diving into that energy and trying to sort that out is kind of a really cool and interesting conversation. And I'm happy to dive in. I could talk about this forever.
This is super exciting. I went ahead and drew up a chart for just old Hollywood for with today's date, but in 1930. And it's just like a really interesting chart just right off the bat, just because we have Pluto in Cancer, which just seems like so dark, like dark mother, like just, and it's in the 12th house in this chart that I drew up. But it just seems like there's something very lackluster and kind of dark about that, with like Cancer being the great nurturer, and American history specifically has so much to do with the sign of Cancer, and to have Pluto there in this kind of dying down of the golden age is really, really interesting. And it's actually really interesting because I have that one actor,
Errol Flynn.
And like he's having, like where Mars is right now as we're speaking is returned to his Mars and his natal chart in 1909.
Yeah.
Really, really interesting.
Just I'm telling you, there are no coincidences.
No, not at all. It's like, and that's why I pulled it up. I was like, what are we dealing with right now? Like,
what are we really looking at? And that's not to say that Errol Flynn himself was, you know, the soul or some sort of pinnacle of that energy. He was a representation of it. He was, oh, Jesus. Okay. All right. Oh, gosh. Okay. So the guide said to me the other day, I've been having some interesting messages, and they're coming through in an interesting way, not like they usually do. Usually it's like, boom, download everything all at once. Right now, it's a very reluctant trickle.
Like breadcrumbs.
Yeah.
If it, like, well, but worse,
more like tapping a maple. It is very slow, dripping, thick, icky feeling energy, but for the best. And one of the things they said to me the other day is that the first part of the message was that in the next 10 years, there's going to be a lot of shifting and change, a lot of release, a lot. It's going to be intense. And the way they made me feel was, the way they said it to me was, be prepared to float.
Interesting.
That was how they worded it. Be prepared to float. Float, it has a lot to do with water, physically flooding, physically water's ability to destroy.
Yeah.
Emotionally, water is emotion. Mm-hmm. So whether you are floating in emotion or you are floating in limbo, or you are, things have been taken away and you don't know what life looks like anymore, this is the next 10 years for us as a collective. And I was like, okay, well, that's terrifying. But also, I'm not scared. I've realized that I personally have gotten to a point where, while fear sort of rides in a sidecar, I'm no longer cluttered or befuddled or fogged by it, usually.
Yeah.
But, you know, famous last words.
But we also spoke, what was it, last episode or the episode before, where we also felt like the energy that's coming in currently is in support of us moving forward and taking charge. And we were talking about feeling like we're kind of like the mountain where the water is flowing around us now, instead of just being the flotsam on the surface, kind of riding along the wave.
Yeah.
We have a little bit more authority and control as far as how we take what's coming in. It's like we can receive all of the craziness and kind of choose, okay, but I'm still here. I'm still fine. I can still drop anchor where I need to and have some stability, even though it appears as though there's no such thing.
Exactly. And that's really important because I think a lot of people are having, I think they've arrived on this shore of feeling empowered, but they don't quite know what to do with it yet. They don't know how to trust it. It feels dangerous to trust that. But what I can tell you as someone who's been on that journey for about a year now of trusting that lack of fear is that it has not slapped me in the face yet. And so my advice would be trust that lack of fear when you can connect with it. It's going to be okay. You are remembering that you're not a victim like you were trained to think you were. That's what's happening. They trained us to think that we were at their mercy. They trained us to think that we needed their permission. They trained us to be on bended knee and look up.
And this is very much the energy that we're talking about of those kind of, you know, early days of old Hollywood, because the people that were coming in, especially the women coming in, the young women coming in, all had that attitude of, I'm going to go here to make it. I have no other alternatives. I have nowhere to go.
It was hope is what it was. For people who were entering it, it was hope.
I mean, we had the gold rush early American days, you know, and then the golden age came of Hollywood, right?
And we had the gilded age.
Yeah, exactly. I just really quickly, going back to your point you were making earlier, Heather, of the language you both were actually using of the flooding and emotions and this wateriness to like these pre-existing structures. And we are dealing currently with Saturn moving through Pisces with Neptune. And I mean, I don't even know if you guys are aware of that. I don't know how much you're into like current astrology, but like you guys are nailing this whole theme of like flooding of structures and like, you know, all these things. Like these are in my little neck of the woods of astrology. Like this is the language that's floating around, pun intended.
Nice.
Right now in that community. Just so you guys know, it's really interesting.
I love that. And Go ahead.
Oh, just as intuitives, I think you guys have a lot on your side, you know, with that. Like it's going to be themes people are going to be feeling and really not knowing what to do with. And it can be scary, you know, just knowing normal people like this is my parents, you know, like they're not really into all this stuff. But like I can tell they're going through those emotional kind of feelings. And I know the astrology of it, but it's really interesting to talk to you guys and know that you guys are even like feeling and aware of these things outside of like knowing the astrology of it. It's just really, really interesting.
I think what we're seeing here is we're seeing a language coalesce, a spiritual language coalesce, because when I tap into anyone's guides and talk to them, I'm starting to realize that people are confused because they don't know how to speak emotion.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They haven't had enough practice yet. So I feel like what we are talking about has to be the same thing. Like it's not a surprise to me that the astrology is reflecting the exact words that we're using, because the words are just brushstrokes.
Yeah.
And all the brushstrokes are for the same painting, if that makes sense.
No, it totally does.
Well, and I think we're having quite possibly one of our most human moments in time as a collective right now. Like we are humaning as we have never humaned before. And that has a lot to do with it. The emotion, and we talked about this in the last episode when we were kind of talking about how we got here and the agreements and contracts that we made as becoming humans and kind of being a part of this Earth School was to dive in deeper to that emotional field. And it's been a very long process to seriously root ourselves in the physical, in that cycle of actually feeling and embodying all that we are as humans. And the most important key aspect to that are the emotions, and that, and feeling and moving through and letting that kind of emotional aspect be more of the North Star than just the very mental, okay, this is the stuff that I was already downloaded with when I came into this place. You're kind of throwing the old maps away. Anything that you had previous that was like, okay, here's my little last handhold onto where I had been, moving into this new space that's very open and very scary and has, you know, a lot going on that I'm going to have to learn. We're in a, like a culmination period. So all of the lifetimes that you had experienced, all of the situations that you have been in, everything in this lifetime, it's coming up to a point, and all of that is pointing to, you can absolutely 100% ride out the crazy that's happening. You have amassed all of the things that you need in order to do that. It may not feel like that right now, but you can kind of rest in the fact that you do have that ability, that you are very capable. And I think that's another one of the reasons why this subject of Hollywood is bubbling up to the surface, is because we're seeing a lot of things in that culture again, where people are kind of putting their foot down and starting to speak up and empowering themselves to say things that they wouldn't normally say, that they wouldn't feel like they had the ability to say, in fear of retaliation, in fear of losing their livelihood. I think they're finding that, you know, it's worth it to me to let people know what's actually happening here, because a lot of us go throughout our day and kind of la 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 la. Oh, yeah. Especially now that reality TV is so huge, and you're seeing a lot of celebrities kind of, and the way that they're portrayed, even in the reality TV, which is most of the time very scripted or very edited, to point towards, you know, something very specific. They're putting out a very specific product for you to consume. And kind of the way Heather has been bombarded by little messages lately, I've been called to watch some of the weirdest, like, things that I wouldn't normally watch, like documentaries where people are starting to talk about, like, certain circles of Hollywood, certain shows. Mm-hmm. I just watched one the other day on the cast of Glee and the quote-unquote Glee curse. And I knew about the three stars that had passed away under tragic circumstances, but I had no idea that their whole crew was affected. They lost like 5 crew members during the filming of that show, and also very oddly crazy circumstances, like several heart attacks.
Oh my gosh.
And people that were very young because of the kind of strenuous work schedule that they were under. I think of my uncle, who was like a lifelong truck driver. Like, he did really crazy, like, strenuous work, but he had been working in the film industry for over 20 years, and he ended up passing away in a very freak accident on the filming of The Avengers. Wow. He was a truck driver. They were setting up for a long day of shooting, and he was loading the truck back up, I believe. And it was hot and it had been a long day, and he fell like, you know, less than 10 feet. He fell like 5 feet off the back of a box truck, passed out, hit his head on the asphalt, had very severe head injuries and passed away about 3 days later.
That is so sad.
It was kind of bananas, yeah. But you know, we're in this weird bubble. Hollywood is this weird bubble of like just a super microscope on the things that are happening in the rest of the world, which is why I think it's, you know, so important to talk about. And it's something that I think we can all relate to, because even if we're kind of checking out of our day to day, one of the things that we use to check out with is the entertainment of Hollywood.
The escapism is very real with Hollywood, for sure. Mm-hmm. Like, at least just to this day, like, I love watching a Kardashian when I'm not having a good
right?
day. You know what I mean? Deep, dark secret. But I feel like...
guilty pleasure.
Yeah, exactly. But I feel like this image of, like, bones being uncovered is kind of the deal here right now, right? Like, we are just resurfacing history that isn't necessarily well known. And I think it is important moving forward to have it be people be more aware of it, just simply for their own sanity, that are in the industry. And, you know, these things have been a problem for a long time. And you're, you know, you have choices now to hopefully move forward and make a better path for those to come.
Well, I think one of the things that's happening in the industry is that a lot of people are being pushed out after years. I mean, these are lifers. After years yeah. of being able to fairly consistently depend on work, yeah. they are not able to anymore. The industry has been fundamentally altered to the point where not only are these deep, dark secrets surfacing, but the infrastructure has been completely dismantled by streaming. Yeah. And the strike came too late.
Yeah.
It needed to be nipped in the bud a lot sooner. And unfortunately, it wasn't. And so now that doesn't mean that this is a bad thing. It means that a lot of people are going to go through rough times, which we don't prefer. But we have to understand that when these things start to shift and change and the carpet's ripped out from underneath us, the specific reason for that is to get you out of the way.
Yeah.
You have to understand at this point in our ascension process where there is no room for you, and you need to be willing to float.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are starting to have to float. They may not be in a space where they can spiritually or logically comprehend what is happening to them. They may still be in that state of victimhood. And that's why people like us who are a little bit more clued in to what might be happening on the other side that is supporting this can really aid people in their understanding of what is happening specifically to them.
Yeah. And it's enticing action.
Yeah.
You know, when things are very comfortable, you're not as motivated to take action. And I think that's where a lot of these folks are right now, is they're in a pocket of, hey,
yeah.
this is seriously, it's affecting my livelihood. It's affecting my future. It's affecting my family. And I'm tired of being a robot. I'm tired of being pushed around. I'm tired of being the yes person and, you know, making nice and carving myself up to create this perfect picture of what it is that they want when they're not really a machine that should be taking authority on how other people should live. Like, is this really who we want speaking for us? Because that is what everybody is looking at. And for the people on the outside who are wanting to get in, there's that framework of, oh, this is what I aspire to be. And now the people that have been in for a long time are going, are you sure about that? here's some things you might want to know before you take that leap, and at least give yourself a firmer ground to stand on and to stand up for yourself when you're seeing certain kinds of behaviors come into play, or when you're dealing with certain types of energies and personalities. It's like, be able to stand up for yourself and know when to say, you know, this isn't a project that I want to be a part of. I don't care if it's going to turn me into a star overnight. That's not the way I want to do this. I'm going to do this differently.
Yeah.
And if it means I have to take control and take charge by creating little web series for YouTube or being on a podcast where I get to speak for myself and actually say what I want. And you get to see the actual me. I think we're seeing, I'm seeing a lot of cool stuff actually from a lot of the people in Hollywood who are taking that step for themselves to put themselves out there in a way that they've never been seen before because they just simply hadn't been allowed to be seen in that way by Hollywood.
It is an interesting like kind of parallel where like there's so much in Hollywood of this wanting to be seen, but there's no authenticity a lot of the time because of the things that people end up taking, you know, because of simply just the end goal being monetary or fame oriented. It's just a really interesting parallel.
Well, and I think from the beginning, Hollywood was for people who wanted to be seen and known. And I think that, you know, the human drama is all about, I want to be seen. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We fall in love with people because we feel they see us. So you go to Hollywood, which is all about being seen on a huge screen in front of millions of people. So those people that really feel that heart pull to being seen, go to Hollywood. And then they shake hands with Hollywood. And the demon of Hollywood says, we want you to be seen like this.
Yeah.
And that has nothing to do with them being seen. They, at that point, they're just architecture.
I've always thought it was interesting that it's called like the silver screen and like silver being oriented towards the moon and its ever webbing flow and, you know, wane and wax. And I always think of that like in the characters of people in, there's so much like Leo-ness and solarness to like the starlet. But there's also so much lunar connection there to me.
Well, that's the curtain. Like, that's the remaining stage curtain, right?
Exactly.
I mean, what happened when they went to theater houses? Yeah. It was both a stage and a screen because that was the transition. And the curtain remained over the theater screen for decades and decades. Yeah. It's only recently that they got rid of that curtain. So it's not it's ridiculously on the nose.
It's so good. Like, I haven't even thought of that.
Yeah, that's right? So the veil lifting.
Literally a veil.
The curtain lifting.
And not to mention the fact that the silver screen is a mirror.
Yes, exactly. No,
but it's not reflecting authenticity. It's reflecting what they want us to see.
In that phase of whatever it is that someone is being told to portray. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So my question to you as an astrologer, what are you seeing in terms of Hollywood then and now? What do you think is happening? What are the stars and planets saying?
Stars and planets are saying like the old ways are coming to haunt, I think, a little bit. You know what I mean? This resurrection energy. And I hope people like lean into it, really. We are dealing with so much karmic contracts, I feel. And like that, it's not all of ours, but I think just we're so local, the three of us, you know, it's very personal feeling when in a very like impersonal place, if that makes any sense.
But, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's okay. Well, I actually have one more thing to add to the download that has been trickling through.
Yeah.
Because okay. I find it really interesting that I'm able to pick up on it because it maybe a month ago would have been a absolute tripwire for all of my fears. And usually when something is that close to my fears, I'm unable to get a clear message, but the messages have been really succinct and then they sort of let me sit with it to see if I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
And what they showed me yesterday was a chessboard, and there were people on the chessboard, and then those people turned into crystals, and the crystals started moving. So what I took that to mean was this is part two of that 10 years of really intense change, is they're showing us that we as people on the planet who have agreed to be here for this, the reason we have agreed to be here for this is because we are human crystals. We know this from our early days of education together in the spiritual realm. But they brought back that idea that human beings are crystals here to anchor certain energies on the planet. And because of the changes that are impending for the planet, those crystals will need to pick up and move. That's one of the reasons they said, be prepared to float. Wow. Because we will be shifting where we are. Wow. It may mean selling your house. It may mean moving to a different country or state. It may mean, they keep showing me lines on a map shifting. And this is specifically, for my reference point, America. Yeah. And I don't think this is news to anyone who is witchy enough to be listening to this podcast. I think we're all feeling it, and we've all been looking at it on social media. I know it's talked a lot about on TikTok, but my own personal sources are reaffirming that there are, and I hear the word gerrymandering, which is not meant to trigger me in a necessarily voting way or voting corruption way, so much as it is meant to suggest that these lines that we normally look at in terms of the divisions of states are going to be a lot more fluid, a lot more organic. And that's how things are going to be restructured. Instead of the United States being so straight, like the division lines, a lot of the division lines between the states are just very straight. It's going to be like a jigsaw puzzle with bigger pieces.
Well, and a couple of things come up for me. Again, I keep getting tied back to the message of water, and another one of water's jobs is to help allow things to rise to the surface. If you fill up a space with water, anything that's been settled at the bottom is going to rise to the top. So anything that you've been, you know, if we think of that in the means of like things that we've pushed aside, or things that have been hidden, or things that have been stuck, the water is helping everything to rise to the top, to be uncovered, to be recovered, to make it easier to remove. You know, it's like now we get to skim off the top anything that floats up there that doesn't need to be there. But in the manner of the crystals, that's something that's very near and dear to me, because that's work that I remember from previous experiences. That's one of my first
past jobs. She's talking about past lives.
This is one of my first jobs on Earth School, was to plant encoded crystals to create a type of living record of certain information and energies. And I planted them in very specific places throughout the world. And I remember where those places are.
And the movement of those crystals was one of the first steps in leading up to this new movement of crystals.
Yeah.
Sure.
We needed those crystals to unseat us from our beliefs. And once they were able to do that, we were able to connect to our guides, who then helped us further unseat ourselves from the former programming, which has led to us releasing the belief that that reality was ever real for us. Now we see it as an illusion, and we, as the crystals ourselves, are ready to shift.
Well, and the water is activating the crystals. So things, again, that were buried are now coming to the surface, and they're like little antennae. they're helping to connect. They're connecting to each other now. That energy is starting to rise again. They're connecting to each other, and they're kind of creating a web, if you will. And that web is very protective, but it's also a bridge. It's bridging us to other areas of the world, places where we may not have had a lot of connection previously. I think we're going to feel more connected to certain areas and certain communities that, you know, maybe we have an ancestral pull to or tie to, or maybe not at all. Maybe it's just not a place that we've considered or thought about. But as humans, we're going to have a, you know, it's something that's going to pluck at a heartstring, and we're going to feel more connected, feel more compassionate towards, feel more loving, open, accepting to certain energies around the world that maybe we may have been cut off from because something like Hollywood or something in that realm has portrayed them in a certain way. And that particular veil is now being lifted, where we're going to see beyond what those that have been kind of quote unquote in charge have been placing in front of us. and telling us like, this is how it is. I think that that particular veil is being lifted and we're like, you know, I don't know about that. I don't think so. I don't know that you've been 100% on the up and up with us and believe that anymore. So
yeah,
I think, you know, those kinds of feelings are going to change in this process as well.
And I just, all this talk of water, I'm going to be referencing just the old Hollywood chart of 1930, today's date.
Yes. April. Do it.
I just think it's so cool because, I mean, Pluto is such a little ninja planet. Like, you don't think it's a big deal sometimes, and then it's a huge deal. It's like kind of what he does. I always compare him to clear quartz. He like will take things and magnify them. But I mean, this chart is from 1930. Pluto in Cancer, this talk of water. And I think of water kind of forming rock. Like, it's so powerful that years and years and years of dealing with water on something, it begins to shape it. It becomes like etched, I believe is what the technical term is for crystals that are etched. They get that like kind of cool texture and make them like look really sparkly and whatnot. And here we are with Pluto now moved freshly into Aquarius. And the cool thing, depending on who you ask, scary thing about Pluto entering into Aquarius is that we as humans have only known, our information about Pluto only goes back to Capricorn, the sign before Aquarius. So we're in a whole new era of what Pluto does as a big question mark. We don't know what it looks like yet with Pluto and Aquarius. But what I do know about Aquarius is it's a sort of subtle rebellious sign. It's not like in your face like Aries is, like, oh, I'm going to do what I want, you know, fire, fire, fire. It's more subtle and it rewrites the rules as it wants to be. It doesn't need to break the rules because it's going to rewrite the rules as it wants to live. And Pluto there, I think, is just such an electric sort of situation. And like with this talk of water, I'm just kind of sitting here wondering, like, what's that going to look like for Hollywood? You know what I mean? What is that combination going to give us? I don't know. We'll see.
Right. I totally agree. And I mean, we're already seeing what it's giving us with the whole P. Diddy, Sean Combs. Yeah. Yeah. Stuff coming out, the whole Nickelodeon documentary that just came out. We're already seeing things surface.
Yeah.
And this is
2 degrees.
Aquarius. Right. And it's just 2. And here's the thing, though, is that these people that are part of these situations are all moving crystals. Mm-hmm. They're all on the chessboard. And so the people that came out in this documentary that was done on Hulu for Nickelodeon, they went from being the victim from a very young age, growing up to the point where they were like, now it's time to not be that. Now it's time to be something else.
Yeah.
And same goes for anyone involved in any of these really crazy cases that we can almost not believe are happening. But a lot of us are like, yeah, okay, finally. Thank you. And that's what they mean by the moving crystals on the chessboard. And it's going to be all of us. All of us are going to be called to move, whether it's move a job after so many years, move house, move city, move state. There's going to be a lot of movement. And the best way to deal with that is to just allow it to happen.
Yeah. Don't fight it. Yeah.
Yeah. We've spent so many years trying to maintain our personal bubble of safety physically. Mm-hmm. And what they said to me while you were talking was the physical boundary is the last thing to change.
Oh my gosh.
And that's just, it's so telling because we know that things have been happening behind the scenes, behind our scenes, our spiritual scenes. We know that things have been shifting and moving and the guides are like, just stay where you are. And you're like, okay, but are we ever going to go somewhere? Because hello, this is getting really scary up here. And now they're like, well, you wanted to go somewhere. And I'm a little like, okay, but where am I going? They're like, what you need to know is that you planned for this.
Yeah. It's so true. Pluto is such a spiritual, just sorry, I'm on the Pluto thing right now. Everything you're talking to me about is so like this, like dripping with Plutopian things also. But I mean, I'm kind of doing a lot of work on Pluto, like on my own research and stuff, spiritually speaking, because I'm a traditional astrologer. But when you start to talk Pluto, all this spiritualness comes out. You know what I mean? Even if you're like really technical about astrology, Pluto is just so otherworldly, you know what I mean? And so when I'm like thinking of, I relate Pluto to karmic contracts. And I think we all are here because we're able to handle it. We're not here because we can't. And so this struggle is for a greater good, I have to believe, you know what I mean? But I think when you resist necessary change, Pluto shows you what tragedy is on the other side of that, unfortunately. And so listening and committing to the struggle is almost the work itself, finding anew again.
Yep.
It's hard though. It's hard work to do.
Yeah.
Well, and thinking about and talking about like karmic contract, when I think about karmic contract, and a lot of this has been coming out just over the last several years to me, like I've always been a genealogy person mm-hmm. and a history person and an anthropology person, but the message has been very, very clear to me that we need to stop thinking of our ancestors as something that are distant
yeah.
to us, that, or as something that is just shoveled over and passed down to us.
Yeah.
We are our ancestors.
Yeah.
Like literally, physically, we are our ancestors. That DNA, that chain has continued. And I can see the path very clearly in my own world because I've done that specific work, but it's all chained mm-hmm. together. But instead of seeing it as something very outside of us, it's time to start flipping that narrative and realize that's experience that we've amassed.
Yeah.
All of that connection is you literally lived that life, that thing that you can look at and tie to a point in history where you're like, wow, I don't know how in the hell they survived that. How did they come in the covered wagons and trek over the mountain in their bare feet and like go without, and like how did I even end up here? Because slews of people would have had to have gone through that yeah. in order for me to be here right now. Like massive amounts of people had to endure and survive in order for me to be on the planet currently.
Yeah.
And now I'm starting to see I did survive all of that. That is, they are me. I am them. That all of that that came down that at one point I saw as like, you know, something, some huge mass of energetic crap that I was carrying, you know, as a current survivor of my line, I now realize, oh, and I just wasn't past that crap. And like, it wasn't dumped on my doorstep. That stuff that I've already been through and those different versions of me are now painting a much clearer picture so that I can see how capable I am of handling whatever comes next. It's like, girl, you've already, like, literally you have been burned. You have been hung.
Yeah.
You have walked barefoot in the snow.
You have died of dysentery.
You have died of dysentery. You have all the things. Pick a thing. Pick it. Here. Here's the wheel of disastrous crap that could possibly happen to you. Right? Spin the wheel. You've done it already. It's already been, it's mischief managed. Boom, boom. You've already done the thing. Like, don't worry about anything that's coming up. You've already done the thing.
I love what you're saying. And I have a question.
Sure.
So how do you think, because I'm so about what you're saying, 1000% agree. But like with Heather's like connection to Dorothy, how do you mm-hmm. think that fits into that? Do you think it fits in? Like, it's not
blood. Oh, sure.
You know what I mean? But
sure.
To my knowledge, it's not blood related, Dorothy Dow to...
Well, that's what she sent me right before this. Okay, so for those of you who don't know what we're talking about...
Sorry, yeah.
On the Hollywood show, I did mention that there was an actress that I believed that I was her in a past life. And I didn't mention who she was, but it is Dorothy Dow. And she's not very well known unless you are maybe a Shirley Temple fan or specifically a Dorothy Dell fan. I'm sure there is a niche out there. She didn't get very long on the planet to make her mark. But right before we started recording, we were talking about my experience of learning of this and the things that sort of validated that for me, because it's crazy to just suddenly, after so many years, like from when I was very little, I knew that I had ties to old Hollywood. I was absolutely in love with MGM and the golden era of Hollywood, and even in its debauchery and its horribleness with everything we talked about at the beginning of the show, I felt a missing that I couldn't explain. There was just this absence and this regret regarding Hollywood. And so I realized at one point that the actress that I had been, I had always wanted to know, who was I, you know, and no one ever felt quite right except for, I always forget her name. Who was the one? Thelma Todd. I felt a little bit connected to Thelma Todd, but it wasn't right. And I didn't know what that meant at the time. But if you look back, Thelma Todd, Platinum Blonde, Thelma Todd died really young. Thelma Todd, not sure if it was murder or an accident. Murder or suicide or an accident. There are a lot of tie-ins there if you research Dorothy Dell. Long story short, too late, right before we're talking or to getting ready to go on, Jamie sends me an image. She got nudged. Do you want to tell him? Or should I?
So one thing that I have noticed, that anybody that I get like super curious about and go down a rabbit hole on, I am somehow actually like physically related to. And because I've done so much work and I've tagged so many of my ancestors, my previous me's, I can now trace them. And Heather and I are related.
What?
Yeah. What? Seriously, we're related. We're cousins. And so I'm like, well, I got nudged to look up Dorothy Dell and to see if I was, you know, actually related to Dorothy Dell. And I am. So is Heather.
She's my 10th cousin twice removed.
Crazy guys. Come on.
This is why genealogy can be just as an effective tool spiritually as astrology or tarot or any of those things. They're just our ways here on Earth to humanly connect with our origin, which was never here to begin with.
Absolutely. We need to see that. We need that. It's the same reason why we do charts. It's the same reason why we read tarot and oracle. We need that physical in front of us. Mm-hmm. Hey, that thing that you're sensing, that you're feeling the connection to, that you're having an emotional response about, there's a reason, because right here on paper, here you go. You know, it's like if you didn't think it was quote unquote real enough for you to think longer on or to deem worthy enough to do the deep dive, here's the real quote unquote proof that you need to do that deeper work.
I always say astrology is just a key to make yourself not feel as crazy. So I get what you're saying. that the physical material, yes, this is you. Yes, you're not nuts. Yes. Mm-hmm. You have a connection for a reason. Go with it. I am an astrology nerd, so I have Heather's chart with Dorothy's chart pulled up on my phone. Both Leo moons. That's really interesting, because of the moon being like incarnate and like here on Earth.
Kind of wanting to be seen, the show, here I am.
Yeah. Kind of interesting.
Very interesting and not surprising.
Your guys' Saturns are just degrees apart. There's a lot of parallels here in the charts also.
Wow.
Really, really. I'll keep looking, but that's really interesting.
How exciting.
Moon placements, they're hard to get the same because the moon moves so fast. So the odds of that aren't very likely, you know what I mean?
Really?
Yeah.
That's
really cool. And we were just talking about the moon energy being related to the silver screen.
Mm-hmm.
That's nuts.
I know.
Am I the only one out here who feels that's nuts? I think that's enough. Well, I mean,
it's nuts.
It doesn't get more nutty than you're talking about your dead past self. It's all normal.
I love talking about my dead past selves. My past selves were so much cooler than I am now.
Yeah, right?
This life that I've chosen this time around, I mean, in retrospect, is pretty fucking mundane. A lot of emotional heavy lifting. Nothing to write home about.
I'm sure future me's are going to love me, but this me is like, it's okay.
Is that all you could do, really? Well, all right.
Covered wagons. You couldn't.
There were witch trials in your past. There were covered wagons. There was war.
she liked crystal stuff and she read cards.
She was pretty much
that's
a practiced,
cool, but...
she was pretty much a practiced hermit.
We're taking a break, okay?
Yeah.
This is, but it, I will say though, in the terms of digging, of taking a break, Dolores Cannon used to say it's a digging potatoes life. This has not been a digging potatoes life. This has been, I feel at this point, I can honestly say that this life has been more emotional heavy lifting than probably any other life I've lived. There were traumatic things that happened in those lives that I've had to move through in this life. In order to clear them, because that's what this lifetime is all about. Those of us who have agreed to do this thus far have shaken hands with the challenge of clearing all of that karma we had not yet cleared before the wheel stops turning. Yeah. That's a big job.
It is.
Yeah. 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 Like I'm sure future me will have mad respect for current me.
Hell, current me has mad respect for current me.
Current me is starting to learn to have mad respect for current me, but that also has been a journey. But I think that that's probably true across the board, and anybody listening, I'm sure you're probably starting to see yourself in a way now that maybe you hadn't previously, and it's fun and, you know, cheeky to joke about on the podcast, but seriously, give yourself some grace and stop to take stock of all of your accomplishments in this life. Even if it doesn't seem like you've had any, if you really spend the time dialoguing with yourself and, you know, doing a chronological tick off list of all the things that you have accomplished in this lifetime thus far, it's going to be a huge list because we've lived through a lot. We've lived through really massive changes. I mean, our parents and our grandparents lived through some big changes too, but I feel like what we have lived through has gone, it's like the timeline moved up, even though it feels like it's going slow or slower in some instances. We've amassed so much in a little amount of time. Like there are certain things that we're starting to come around to like big anniversaries of, and I can't help but to like, I kind of look at certain things that are being talked about right now. And I'm like, wow, is that really, that really wasn't that long. It seems hundreds of years ago that certain things have happened, but it's only been like 50 years or 60 years or 80 years. It's just, it hasn't been as long as you think it has. If I look at like the space program and things like that, and we're starting to hit like big markers of anniversaries for things in that realm. And I'm like, it really wasn't that long ago. I watched Hidden Figures the other day, which is a fantastic movie if nobody's watched that, on the beginning of the space program and some of the contributions of specifically African-American women in the space program. And looking at the science that we were using to send people outside of our realm to another space entirely. And I'm like, I can't believe anybody said yes to that specific job of, I'm going to go crawl inside this little capsule and I am going to trust what the rest of you do to send me outside of our atmosphere into a place where people have not been. And then I'm going to also trust that you can bring me home because, you know, that sounds like a good plan.
I don't know trust like that. I don't know trust like that.
What?
In any capacity.
But I don't think if you place yourself in their shoes, they weren't saying yes to that. They were shaking hands with an adventurer.
Yeah.
The people who shake hands with adventures like that don't think past the next moment. They think, I'm going to get into that capsule. The end. Whatever happens from there is... I can definitely imagine.
I did at one point. At one point, I wanted to, like, I talked about this week on my Instagram because I had a really interesting experience. I wanted very badly to go to space camp when I was younger. I wanted so badly to be an astronaut when I was younger. And I wanted that all up until the point where I went to high school and I went to some sort of big meeting that we all had where we had like NASA representatives talk about the space program and being a part of the space program. We had an alumnus to my junior high school that was a commander in a big project. So was an astronaut. So we had people come in and talk about the space program, and they were talking about the things that you had to go through to get to be an astronaut. And one of the things they mentioned was first starting out in the aeronautical industry and Air Force and things like that, and kind of working through those things. And one of the things they mentioned was jumping out of a plane. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why would I jump out of a perfectly serviceable aircraft? That is not happening. Oh, bummer. I'm never going to be an astronaut. Well, that sucks. But it was like that quick. I was like, nope, not doing it. And that was over. But like this past week, so I've had balance and dizziness issues. Aww. And so I went to this huge center that works, it's audiology, and it's an audiology and balance center. So they do this like 5 hour long testing, and some of the machines that I was put into looked like they belonged to NASA. Yeah. And after I looked them up later, it's like, yes, this is NASA technology that they're using. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm like, hands down, absolutely no, would never be an astronaut, not as long as this is going on, because I was so freaking miserable by the end of the day. I'm just now coming to a point where I'm like not walking around being freaking dizzy and wanting to barf. But yeah.
I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy, Jamie. I'm so sorry.
And to me, it just sounds fun. I'm going to ride the space chair.
Oh my God.
I'll be the control group. I'll ride the space chair.
Yes, put on these blackout goggles. Let us strap you into this multi-axis turner, and then we're going to tip you every which way. You're going to have no idea where you are, but you're going to feel awful.
Faster.
Yes, sign me up.
Faster.
Fuck no. 10 out of 10, do not recommend.
I remember being a kid, and you have to do like the seeing and hearing test, like just in elementary school. And like I had the headphones on, and the nurse was like, all right, raise your hand every time you hear like a beep and any your left hand if it's your left ear, right hand if it's your right ear. And I could hear all the beeps, like even the lowest ones. And I was like probably 8 or 9. And she's like, you could be a pilot. And I was like, no way. I'm way too scared to do that. Even then, I was like, no way.
No thanks. No, I'm good. Thanks. Not raising my hand for that job. That is not a job I want. Oh my God. Yeah.
So fun.
So where do you think this Hollywood business is going to head? Is there anything you're seeing, or have you even looked?
Yeah, I've been looking. I think the Pluto is really going to say it all to me. And I think we have so much crazy astro weather ahead of us with like, even just right now we have the Mars, Saturn.
Oh, yeah. Talk about that.
Mars Saturn conjunction. Oh, man. And like, I wish I'm going to search if we have like a birth chart for Hollywood somehow. You know what I mean? I'm sure there's like a couple floating around, but I would love to like get signs in order because I'm just doing a noon chart. But I think like there is so much eighth house activity for perhaps a Leo rising chart for Hollywood itself. It makes sense that it would be a Leo rising to me personally, but then that would be an eighth house Saturn Pluto.
What does that relate to?
Yeah, what does it mean?
Eighth house is like taboo subjects, sex, money, other people's resources. That's like the theme of the eighth house. So when you put malefics there, like Saturn and Mars together. In the house of, it's ruled by Pisces, the chart that I'm looking at. It's a Pisces eighth house, which is Pisces. I mean, we all kind of have a general idea of what Pisces is, but Pisces just kind of wants to be one with the good and the bad. But when you have like these severing energies there, I think you will come to find that crazy stories coming to the surface that are dark and tumultuous, perhaps. And I mean, we just had that eclipse, you guys. Like, that was such a big deal. I mean,
Yeah. So what does that mean right now in like our astrological forecast? Like what is all of this particular period that we're in? What is it looking like?
There's a lot of conversation going on around it. I don't want to sound like too like fear mongering and stuff, but I do believe like the changes that we were kind of speaking of earlier, they're definitely at play. And I don't think we should be shocked to see lots of change happen personally. And I think it'll probably get worse before it gets better, you know, for those involved and who are close to it. But I do think it's a moment in history that we're definitely going to be part of, you know, it's just big energy.
And it's good to talk about stuff like that, because I think it also gives us the room and kind of sets the stage for us to talk about perception.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
because
yeah.
I think it's a lot of it is perception. We perceive things to be inherently good, mm-hmm, or inherently bad instead of neutral.
Yeah.
And I think, and this just kind of ties into our astronaut talk, you know, what is the job of an astronaut but to gain a space of neutral balance?
Absolutely.
When everything else is trying to rock their world, mm-hmm, you know, you have to, one of your main jobs is to write that craft, no matter what the environment is throwing at it or is trying to do to it. The thing of being in the multi-axis, that's the practice for, you know, when you were in a deep spin of writing yourself, so yeah, that you are able to be stable in the midst of something that seems very chaotic and crazy. And that takes a lot of confidence. Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of belief in the self that's something that you can actually accomplish and do. And I think that is the message that are coming through from that ancestral past that we all have. Again, remembering, look, you've already been through so much crap. You've already faced all the things. Little slivers of you have lived through some of the craziest times in the world, some, yeah, of the most polarizing times in the world. You have literally built a team of energetics around you through these other lifetimes lived, through these other little fragments of your DNA that have now been amassed. Yeah. You're clearing all the crap away, all the superficial stuff, moving through all the trauma that would have made you frozen in the past, that would have tripped you up and made you feel incapable. You've moved through that so that you can see that bigger picture now, so that the perspective that you have can start to change. And again, I think that's why a lot of these people are now coming forward. There's a confidence that's kind of bubbling to the surface that's, mm-hmm, telling them, I'm going to do this thing that's scary, and I'm going to put myself out there in a way that the machine has perhaps told me, you know, isn't going to be good for me, or that I'm not going to be able to withstand, and I'm going to do it anyway. And that immediately makes you more relatable and gives you more support. That compassion that we've been building over lifetimes and lifetimes is now coming to the surface. And when people are being authentic and speaking their truth, we're able to relate to that and go, wow, I'm so glad that they said that, because even though I'm not in that situation or haven't gone through that exactly, I have a certain feeling. I have an empathy towards that. And I, you know, I can empathize with that person and what they've been through, and I can see how it's related to me in my own life. And now I want to speak out about something, or I want to help other people who are going through something similar, or I want to reach out and give that person support. I want to let them know that what they have done is not in vain,
yeah,
that they are helping other people to be able to, you know, stand strong in their own space. So I feel like, again, even though some of the stuff seems scary. I don't think it's ever something that we should be surprised. I don't think we're really ever surprised. We might be surprised that stuff actually makes it to the surface, yeah. but we're not surprised that it's there because you can always feel it. Yeah. It's like, oh, there's something behind all of that. And like that, whatever is behind that door is, you know, I don't know about that thing, but you know, we might be surprised that somebody finally picked the lock and like opened the door and let all of the skeletons fall out of the closet.
Which is but, Ellie's house.
But sure. we know that it's there. It's like, yeah, I pretty much figured that was behind that door.
And that's like kind of a sad thing, but that's kind of what I mean when I did say, like, I think it'll get worse before it gets better. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think there's this energy of really coming to be comfortable with being uncomfortable, knowing that there's something greater at the other side of the discomfort. You know what I mean? It's not forever. And I have so much to say. I truly believe like astrology, just, I know this is kind of going back to earlier points even, but like it is all related. Like I would love to take a look at like a project that I am working on is like the astrology of family trees. You all, like the three of us, we have like kind of roots going back to the old Hollywood era and like relatives going back there, like and like just looking at your moon and Dorothy's, you know what I mean? Like that stuff is chock full. And it's a project that's close to my heart. And I think it's very spiritual work. And I just can't help but think, I know not everyone is going to be interested in that, maybe not even have the means of doing so, having the birth charts of a bunch of ancestors. But I think like, wow, if you can, that'll just give you that grace you were speaking about, Jamie, of like feeling connected and held and safe to move forward in that discomfort.
And I think that this is huge right now because they've been talking, spiritual people, their guides have been coming through talking about how, hang in there, spiritual people, you are needed on the planet. People who are waking up now are going to need your guidance. And we all kind of were like, I mean, so far they don't seem to think it's very valuable. A lot of times I think we feel that way. It's the last thing that the latte fund will be used for, you know, and they have to forego several lattes in order to afford certain services, and they're just not gonna. And so I think, speaking for myself, but I would be surprised if I were alone in this, that we have very little faith that people are going to realize they need our help. However, I think what we're talking about today is, right? I think what we're talking about today is the tipping point. Mm-hmm. That the emotions that are going to bubble up within people are going to be so fast, so hard, so much that they are not going, there's going to be a sudden awakening to the fact that the emotional language has not been taught.
Abso-fucking-lutely.
And this, what we do is finally going to become a pursuable commodity.
I hope so, because we've all lived here, you know, for years. So.
Well, and that's the thing. Yeah. That's the other thing that's been coming through for me lately is that we who have been kind of long haulers in this particular search and this kind of search and research of this realm have had to, especially over the last decade, kind of survive the trends in spirituality. It's like in order to get it out there, you kind of have to live through the marketing of spirituality and see it go through this really horrible, it's like a bad haircut, of like, oh, you know, everybody's walking around and wearing a crystal and we're going to go to yoga and we're going to like stop at the like kava bar on the way back.
Yeah.
And I'm like really into meditation and moving through my stuff right now. Well,
isn't it just more of that Hollywood energy? Hopeful to be seen. And once we get there, even in the spiritual community, we have to be seen through that certain lens.
And we also find out who the actresses are and actors are of the bunch.
Yeah.
and then you get to move through that. I think we're finally starting to get to a space where those that were kind of nudged and triggered by the trend to follow, there's now a division of the people who are like, oh, that was fun for a second, but I don't think I want to like pursue that anymore. And then there are people who are like, I know that I was pulled in by the trends, but now I'm more invested and I see a greater need and I actually have a desire to dive into this more. And I don't know if being serious is the right word for it, but I'm wanting to become more emotionally invested in these practices to support where I want to be. You know, just to shift. I'm tired of living a life just on the surface. You know, I want to dive into something deeper. I want to feel more. I want to feel, you know, and I think that might have been something that triggered people in the beginning is, oh, wow, like they're asking me to feel things like, oh, I'm going to go on this cool weekend with my girlfriends where we're going to go and do breath work. Have you ever done breath work? It's brutal. Breath work can like tear you open. Like it sounds simple. It sounds like, oh, I'm just going to go somewhere and I might listen to somebody talk or like pretty music or give me cues and then I'm going to breathe. Like that sounds pretty relaxing. Fuck no. Breath work can leave you in knots on the floor, crying uncontrollably like a child for days and wondering where in the hell you are and how the hell you ended up here. Like you can question all of your life from a breathwork session. It's crazy.
It's powerful. And for me, it was overwhelming on a personal level. And I was not prepared or ready because I wasn't with the right people because they were, I don't want to call them actors or actresses, but they just weren't, I don't even think they were fully aware of how powerful the experience was going to be. Yeah.
And we can say the same for a lot of experiences that you partake in, you know, being a sound practitioner, I go through the same thing every time somebody does a sound bath. It's like, oh, that's relaxing. That sounds nice. They don't, you know, expect to have deep things brought up or to days later feel like, you know, their insides have been turned upside down. It's like, well, you just knocked through a bunch of, you know, energetic crap in your innards. So. Absolutely. Welcome.
and I think the trends are fine, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like it brings.
Well, they're needed. Yeah. You have to have it.
It helps people. It brings in those who are meant to. And in the trends, it goes away and it separates the ones who aren't ready, let's say. But I do believe in when you do become a practitioner to a certain level, like you become so painfully aware of how bedside manner is just as important in this work as it is for a doctor or nurse or whatever, like medical professional. I've thought about even going and getting like just a certification in general counseling before, just to have layered with my astrology practice, because there's so much that comes up that you're not really prepared for because it's not your lived experience. It doesn't mean you don't have compassion or anything, but it's just wild, you know, how committed you really can become to serving, you know, your art form. That it's a serious isn't the right word, I don't think, but it is a serious matter to keep in mind.
Yeah, so it's very emotional work. Yeah. And when you're called to it, you know, any type of service work, I feel like people who are intuitive and naturally empathic are going to be more inclined to be drawn towards that kind of work because it's just your deep down your heart is yearning to commune with those people in some sort of way and try to help. In some sort of way.
That's really it.
And it's crazy when you start moving through all the processes and you get to a point where you're like, wow, this is so much deeper than what I thought.
Yeah.
was going to happen. And it makes it very interesting when you are kind of walking the line between, you know, half the people you encounter going, oh, I'm just doing this for fun because a friend of a friend said, hey, this is this cool thing that we're going to go do this weekend. Or you get the people who are like, I'm lost. I don't know where I am. I feel pulled to do this thing or try this thing, but I have no idea what I'm doing and I need help.
Yeah.
It's kind of an interesting position to be in, but you know, all together we get called to do certain things for certain reasons. Like even the people that we're talking about in Hollywood, I think it's important to recognize that a lot of these people who are being brought up in you know, in these scandalous stories, even they, you know, made a contract for a role to play. You know, I always had this thought, and it's a hard pill to swallow, but somebody had to raise their hand to be the villain in your story.
Yeah.
Because you cannot move or grow or develop without it. And I've had deep other side through different kinds of spiritual work, kind of conversations with those individuals that have played those roles in my life and have had moments of deep, deep gratitude to the people who have done what is unthinkable, horrible things.
Yeah.
But without having lived through those experiences, I would not be the person who I am. And that does not give them an excuse for what they did or their behavior, but it gives me a firm foundation in knowing that what I went through wasn't in vain. And that I needed that kind of push of that experience, that specific experience, so that I could connect with others, so that I could help other people, so that I could connect with myself and help myself through something that seemed unbearable and unimaginable.
Yeah.
And I know that there are a lot of people out there right now moving through certain things that seem like there is no recovery for. Like you cannot come back from the experiences that people are living through at this moment in the world. But I'm here to say that you can. It's not easy. It's not comfortable, but it is possible. And if you choose to, you will find a way to do that. You will find people to connect with. You will find communities. And you will learn a new level of being compassionate and being empathetic. And you will be called to new ways to serve your community and help others through those things as well.
Beautifully said. Truly.
You know, it's just, it's what a feel.
I think we've done the thing.
I think we have done the thing. That's cool.
That is cool.
I want to do more of these things.
We have to do more of these things because we barely scratched the surface once again.
I know.
Right?
There's so much to dig into. I feel
love
like
this so much though.
I really feel like we are on the crest of a wave of change. And I kind of dig the idea of doing updates and forecasts.
I would love to.
Yeah. So something to look forward to in the future. And in the meantime, if you are still with us, we thank you. Please, I don't know, do the liking thing, do the following thing, do the social media thing. It helps us out. It's nice when we know we're not talking to ourselves. And on top of that, we will be having a meetup on Saturday on Discord. Join us if you'd like. The links will be up on Patreon and Instagram for your clickety-click pleasure. And until then, I guess that's all we have. We'll put all of Samantha's information. We'll link her stuff all the places so you can get in touch with her.
Yay.
Thank you so much, Sam, for joining us and being our official first guest.
Yeah, finally.
Oh my God, thank you guys. It's an honor. We go way back, so this was just such a treat.
Yay. Love it. All right, folks. Well, we will see you next time.
Bye.